Have a seat if you would, unless you need prayer. If you need prayer, stand up. If you got something that needs to be prayed, just stand up. That's your way of saying, Lord, I need prayer. Father God, I want to thank you for your love and your mercy. I thank you for your grace. And Lord, I'm asking you now, in the holy and precious name of Jesus, Father God, I'm asking you, meet every need. Meet every need that has been expressed in this standing, Father God. Lord, I'm asking you today to give us ears to hear, a heart to believe, hearts to receive, and the will to be all that you died on the cross to make us. Amen. My Lord and my God, across this nation today, I'm asking you for a move of your Holy Spirit, cleaning the church. Yes. Cleaning the church, Father God. Saving those in the church who are not saved, but bring them to a saving knowledge of yourself. Amen. Father, heal the backsliders. Bring them back. But today, Lord, be thou glorified in this nation and in every nation where the kingdom of God is meeting. So, Lord, be glorified. Now, Father, I bless everyone who has a need. You know the need. I'm asking you in your sovereignty, in your omnipotence, who you are, I'm asking you to touch that need starting today and continuing in that need until that need is met. Whatever that need may be, I'm asking you to move and meet that need. And then, Father, in the prayer box up here, every request in this prayer box, we ask you to move as only you can move and bring the results that only you can bring. And if you do this, we'll give you the glory, honor, and praise. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Now let's praise the Lord. How many of you see somebody you'd like to see saved? This just stirred my heart this morning. I think what we will do going forward is we're going to be praying for these that you want to see saved as a corporate body. We're going to take them before the throne of God in intercessory prayer, practically every service. And I'd like for you to put the names of those that you would like to see saved, but keep it small. Keep it small. And we're going to put them in the prayer box. And then that way, every time we pray for the prayer box, we can be praying for them. But I intend to go forward. This is just kind of stirring in my spirit, but we're going to go forward asking the Lord to save some of these individuals that you want to see saved. We've got some people that really need Christ, don't realize they need Christ. But then, unfortunately, we got a lot of people who think they're saved and haven't got the foggiest idea what it means to be born again.
Hello.
They do not have the foggiest. I'm asking God. Now, let me just slow down a moment. Folks, I'm 90 years old. And I'm going to keep hitting it till God takes me to glory.
Amen.
As far as I'm concerned, I'm going to keep hitting it till God takes me to glory. But the thing I want you to understand is you're going to go to glory before he comes back. You can forget that pre-tribulational rapture nonsense.
Amen.
You can forget that. No, the church is going to be here during, during the rule of the Antichrist. And now, let me just make a couple of prophetic statements here. Number one, I do not expect to see a major world war. I don't expect it. I think you'll see China, Russia, the United States, and some other powers slowly but surely mixing and mingling and making some concessions and coming together in agreement. All that is leading to a one world order. I won't be here. You won't be here. But now, here's the key. The church can hold back the forming of the one world order. God has turned all of his work over to the church. We are the believer priests. We're the ambassadors for Christ. We're the soldiers of the cross. We have been born again, adopted into the family of God. We make up the kingdom of God. And God has turned all of his work over to the church through intercessory prayer, godly, holy living. So, with that in mind, open your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 2. I'm going to tell you right up front, I tried to get away from preaching this. 2 Peter chapter 2. We're going to cover 5 verses, hopefully, 9 through 14. But hear me clearly. I tried to get away from teaching this. I tried to go to Jeremiah. I was on Jeremiah this week on the radio. God wouldn't let me do that. I tried to go to the Gospel of John, chapter 18. The Lord wouldn't let me do that. That's for the radio too. But here, I tried to avoid this. Now here's what I want you to understand. You have to understand as I come through this that we're talking about those that were never saved. Don't adopt this to yourself as to he's speaking to me as one who's not saved. No. What I'm doing, I'm trying to help you understand that you are surrounded by a world of unsaved people. They're in your family. They're in your neighborhood. They may be in the residence where you live. We've got to be salt. We've got to be light. But Peter knows he doesn't have long. Peter knows he's about to die. And he's writing 2 Peter before he dies. And he's writing it to God's people. He's trying to help us understand that we are in a sin-cursed, sin-darkened world full of people who are not born again.
Hello.
But the primary emphasis of this is those who are not born again. Now you, as an ambassador for Christ, you, as a believer priest, you, as a soldier of the cross, have access to the throne of God, as a child of God. When your last heartbeat comes, you'll be in glory that quick.
Amen.
As one born again, with your last heartbeat, you're going to leave this, I keep calling it sin, curse, sin, darkened world. You're going to leave this sin, curse, sin, darkened world. You're going to go to glory, and you wouldn't come back here if you offered the opportunity.
No.
So going into this morning, just understand your role. You're salt. You'll hear me say this again. You're light. You'll hear me say that again. You are the only witness. You may be the only witness and the only testimony that some lost soul will ever know.
Hello.
We come to 2 Peter, chapter 2. Understand that Peter's writing to the church. He's writing to the church in that day. He's writing to the church today, and he's writing to the church tomorrow. Peter is writing this to believers. It is to believers. We have to understand that we as the body of Christ, the church, we live in a satanic infested world.
Right.
We live in a satanically infested world with systems of religion abounding. There's no shortage of systems of religion in the world. No shortage. All kinds of systems of religion in the world. And the church, the body of Christ itself, is infected with children of Satan. Here, I think we're different. We don't have that. But we don't have a lot of mixing and mingling. But this morning, as I stand here before you, in churches all across the nation, you've got all kinds of lost people sitting there listening. They came in lost, they'll listen lost, and they'll leave lost.
Amen.
But in all those lost people, here's a word of hope now. In every false system of religion in the world, we've got to believe there's some in that false system of religion who are of the elect. Now you're going to hear me use that word in this message, the elect. And I will explain to you, going through the message, who the elect are. And how come they're the elect, how they become the elect. You are one of the elect.
Amen.
As one who's been born again, you are one of the elect. The Word of God makes it very clear. Very clear. The elect. So don't lose sight of that. Now, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. Now, you see who he's talking to? The unjust. That's who he's writing. He's talking to Christians to let us know our role in trying to get them into the kingdom of God. Amen. But he's making us understand that we are living a darkened, sin-infested world. And Satan is the god of this world. The Word of God says that Satan is the god of this world. And as such, he rules and reigns in this world. But we have been placed here as ambassadors for Christ. We've been placed here as believer priests. We've been placed here as soldiers of the cross. And we're to advance the kingdom of God. Now, the Lord knows how to deliver. You've got to remember this. God is omniscient. Omnipresent. He's omnipotent God. Omnipresent. Omniscient. He's never learned anything new. Never will learn anything new. Never forgot anything he ever knew. But you have to understand that's who we're dealing with here. He knows how. God knows how to deliver the ungodly out of temptation and out of the field of darkness. We came out ourselves. He knew how to deliver us. He knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. You're going to be tempted. Amen. Please hear me. Please hear me. This whole business of being a Christian, and I've said this so many times in recent weeks, and I'll keep saying it until I know that the body of Christ is getting this. We come into the family of God, into the kingdom of God, as spiritual infants. Infants. And we can't avoid any stage of growth. We've all got to come through the same identical stages of growth from infancy to childhood. We come through five different levels of maturity, growing in the Lord, becoming more Christ-like. But we have to come through these levels. Now, God knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. I'm talking about us right now. He knows how to deliver us from temptation. Now understand this. He understands your weakness. God understands my weakness. God understands your weakness. And God understands our temptation. There are things that Satan can use against me that wouldn't touch me. Wouldn't even cause me a blink of an eye. But the things he can bring against me, they might not touch you. But once again, having been tempted in all points, as we are. See, the Word of God says we'll be tempted in all points. All points. So that means that as we come through these different levels and stages of spiritual growth, we're going to meet different temptations, and we're going to meet them at different times in our lives. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 makes this very clear. We have not a high priest, which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points. In all points, tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He knew lust. He was tempted to lie. He was tempted to deceive. He was tempted with sensuality. He was tempted with lust. The Word of God says he was tempted in all points, like we are, yet without sin. But the point I'm making is that you're not going to face anything that Christ hadn't already faced. And because he overcame it, he can empower you to overcome it. He can enable you and empower you. Now think about this. Think about where you have given Satan access in your life. Now I'm bringing this in now to prepare you for what's coming. But think about this. Think about where you have given ground to Satan. Here's the key. Satan can only use the ground you give him. That's where the Word of God says, give no place to the devil. That really means give no ground to the devil. Give him no legal right to work in your life. So think about where you've given Satan access, because where you've given access is where you've given ground. You've given up ground to him at that point in your life. Then think about the doors When we did that, the doors we opened up to Satan, we said, come on in. When we do these things, when we do violate the Word of God, when we do give ground, when we give access, we're really saying to Satan, come on in. Tempt me if you will. And he does. He does. The doors we've opened. Now, denial is of no value. You can sit there this morning and you can deny the reality of what I'm talking about. Doesn't change a thing. Reality is reality. So denial is of no value whatever. But understand this. Word of God tells us, God knows how. Watch this. God knows how to reserve the unjust. Now we're talking about the unjust. We're talking about those who have not been saved. But God knows how to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. Reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. Robert Lee, years ago, preached a message entitled, Payday Someday. One of the most famous, he preached that message some 1,800 times. And he was a tremendous man of God. But he preached a message called Payday Someday. And the bottom line of that message was that we're each and every one going to face payday someday. We're going to face the rewards. We're going to face the losses. It's all a part of the reality. But payday someday. So payday is coming. But payday is coming with rewards for the righteous. Rewards for the righteous. And when you stop thinking about rewards for the righteous, they're indescribable. You can't define. We read it in the Word of God, but we really can't comprehend and fully understand the fullness of what God has set aside for those of us who have been born again.
Amen.
I mean, one split second after I die, it's all there.
Yep.
It's all there. And then I move into that position. I got to die to get there. But I get into that position. Once I draw my last breath, I'm in that position. And it's indescribable. It's indescribable. But as well as the judgment of the unrighteous. The unrighteous are going to be judged. And I've never heard anybody can really describe fully the way it needs to be described what happens to the unjust when they die throughout all of eternity. So, we are surrounded by unholy people. Now, so let me slow down and start moving into this now. Every day of the world, you leave your home, you're surrounded by unholy people. Fortunately, they're not in our workplace. Thank God. They're not in the church office, but they're in your office. And they're in your neighborhood. We're surrounded by these every day of the world. We are surrounded by ungodly, unholy people. Don't be surprised at how they react. Don't be surprised at how they respond because they are ungodly. Once again, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Then the Lord, incidentally, many of you, understand this, many of you have people in your family that you love who are unsaved. We have people in the families, of families in the church. We have people in their families who are not saved. And we have families in the church who have family members in the church who are not saved. Folks, the church is littered with unsaved individuals. And that is one reason the church is so weak. That's one reason the church is so weak. And that so much of the church is waiting for the rapture to get me out of here and get me out of this mess. Without understanding, we're here for the duration till Christ comes back. But the church is ill-prepared to face what they've got to face day by day. But we, the people of God, we're the only salt. We're the only light. You'll hear me say that a couple of times in this message. You may be the only salt in one other person's life. You may be the only light in some other person's life. That's between you and God. 2 Peter 2, 9. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. Look at that. Reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. We're talking about people that you know. maybe people in your bloodline, maybe people in your family, but who are unsaved, they don't know Christ. Let's define the unjust. They were never justified through the blood of Christ. That's who the unjust are. The unjust are those who have not been justified. You, as a believer priest, have been justified. What does that mean? Just as if I'd never sinned.
Amen.
Did you get that? Justified. Justification. Understand this. Justification. Justified. Just as if I had never sinned. And that's your position this morning. In Christ Jesus. Sins are forgiven. Past forgotten. Now, we remind him of our past, and Satan reminds us of our past, but he forgets our past. Once we confess it, it's under the blood. He forgives it, he forgets it, but we never forget it. Everybody in this room, you have memories that you would to God you did not have. You were involved in things that you would to God you had not been involved in. You were part of things that you would to God you had not been a part of. Even conversations would to God that you had not been a part of. But it's reality. And it's here. But then, those of us who have been born again have been justified. Just as if we never did those things. Just as if we never said those things. Then, there are those who have never been justified in Christ Jesus. And that's who we're talking about. We have those who have never been justified in and through Christ Jesus. Once again, justified, just as though I never sinned. Get this down. I want you to know who you are in Christ. I want you to get up every morning and say, nothing out of hell can trip me. Nothing out of hell can trip me. I'm going to submit and surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I'm going to put on the whole armor of God, and I'm going to go out into the sin-cussed, sin-first infested world, and I'm going to walk in Christ Jesus, and I'm going to walk victoriously. Anybody can murmur and grumble and complain. I'd rather get out of bed in the morning and say, glory be to God, hallelujah, forever be in his own his throne. I'm his child. I'm adopted into his family. All hell cannot change that.
Amen.
I'm his. Understand this. Justification, being justified, can only be obtained through salvation, through Christ Jesus. That's the only way you're going to be justified, is in salvation through Christ Jesus. Christ on the cross, who knew no sin. This is a picture I think that so much of the church never really gets. On that cross, Christ became sin. He who knew no sin became sin by taking upon himself every sin of every sinner who would ever repent and be forgiven. On the cross, took the sin to the sodomite, the whoremonger, every kind of sin you can name. On that cross, Jesus Christ took upon himself every filthy, nasty, ugly sin that you can sin, yours, mine. And we all have things in our past we wish were not in our past.
Amen.
We all have that. But it was put to death in Christ Jesus. And Satan is going to remind you every day of the world where you failed. And what a failure you were. What you did and what you said and where you went that you should not have. Satan will remind you every day of the world. But understand this. Christ went to the cross. And on that cross, he who knew no sin became sin. He took upon himself the sins of every kind, of every type, of every description, of those who would believe in him, receive him, and trust him as Lord and Savior. And then he put those sins to death in himself. Now, on the cross, Matthew chapter 27 and verse 46, Christ on the cross cried about the ninth hour. Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, I've taught this so many times, in preaching, because this is such an awesome moment. My God, why have you forsaken me? God the Father could not intervene on what was happening in the life of Christ. He could not keep Christ off the cross. Christ had to go to the cross so my sins could be put to death in Christ on the cross, so I wouldn't be accountable for my sins. But he took my sin upon himself. But God the Father could not interfere in what was going on. Christ was taking on himself the sins of all who would believe. Notice I said, who would believe. The sins of all who would believe. Not all who profess Christ know Christ. But on that cross, he became everything that God hates. I've said this so many times, so that we can become everything that God loves. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 10. And especially those who walk according... Now he's talking about the unsaved people. He is now talking about unsaved people. And especially those who walk according to the flesh, in the lust of uncleanness, and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They're not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. Look at what he's saying there. Those who walk according to the flesh, in the lust of uncleanness. In other words, it's an ungodly lifestyle. They have an ungodly lifestyle, and they're embracing different levels of ungodliness. They don't just stop at one level. Folks, that world of lost people out there is embracing every imaginable sin you can think of. As a sin community. I'm not saying that each individual in that community embraces all those sins. I'm saying that as a whole, though, the sin community, satanic community, is embracing everything you can think of that is ungodly and unholy. And Christ went to the cross. Different expressions of ungodliness. Every day of the world, you are surrounded by these people. Every day of the world, they are expressing levels of ungodliness in your presence. And sometimes you're winking at it. Sometimes you're not careful. You'll almost put a stamp of approval on it. But you understand this. They're ungodly, and they're sowing ungodliness everywhere they go. Some more so than others. Some more so than others. Regardless, children of Satan. You see, a child of Satan is going to be... What did Jesus say to that religious group? You're your father, the devil. Yeah. And the works of your father, you will do. And folks, he was talking to the leadership of the religious community in the nation. Amen. He was talking to religious leaders. This baffles me. And they were the ones really pushing to get him executed, to get him crucified. But he said to them, you're of your father, the devil. And the works of your father, you will do. Never lose sight of the fact. In this message, he is warning the church. He is warning the church concerning the children of the devil. Satan, if you will. This was a world that we're facing every day. You get up in the morning and you walk out of your house. Those of us in the church office, we're delivered and protected from some of it until we leave the church office. But you, from the moment you walk out of your house in the morning, you are in a world dominated, controlled, and run by Satan. And you're up against that every day of the world. And you are the only light. As I've said before, the only salt that some people will ever find. These people were in the world. He's talking about the people in the real world. And we're facing these people every day. That's just a harsh reality of life. That is just a harsh reality of life, that every day of the world we're mixing and mingling. But then that hurts. We're mixing and mingling with people who don't know Christ. But are we revealing Christ? Do they see Christ in us? Do they see light in us? We're in a sin-darkened world. That's the world we live in. We, those of us born again, we are the exception. As children of God, children of light, we are the exception. But as the exception, we're in and surrounded with and mixing and mingling in a world every day of our life that is sin-infested, sin darkened, and controlled by Satan. I look at some of the changes taking place in the nation today and the percentages and what people believe and what people don't believe. I research stuff like that. And I'm telling you, the United States of America, like the nation of the world, is in a spiritual declension. We are in a spiritual declension. And the only way to stop that spiritual declension is if the church realizes who she is, what she is, all she is, and gives herself to Christ and to intercessory prayer. I'm not sure the church understands what intercessory prayer can get done. Those who walk according to the flesh, in the lust of uncleanness, and despise authority, they're deceived. Yeah. You're living in a world full of deceived people.
Amen.
You're working with people who are deceived. You have neighbors who are deceived, some more so than others. But you're living in a world, a sin-darkened world, of people who are deceived. And once again, you may be the only light. You may be the only salt. But don't forget this. We were once there. Don't forget where you come from. I'm not saying you have to go back there and live there. But don't forget where you come from. And don't lose sight of the fact of what God has brought you through and what God has delivered you from. Now, let me make a couple of statements now that's going to rattle some cages. That sweet little infant, oh, how precious, born with a sin nature, waiting to get some age to show what it really is. Show what it really is. Once you understand that was us, we came out of the womb with a sin nature. I don't know about you, but it amazes me that God puts up with as much as he does in some of us before he brings us to a saving knowledge of himself. And then some of us, like the prodigal son. Yes, we got born again here, but we went there. Even though we were born again here, we went there, like the prodigal. I'm so glad that is in the Bible. The prodigal son, because one day he came to himself, living amongst the pigs, eating the husk of the pigs, and said to himself, my father's servants have it better than I got in this pig pen. I'm going home. And some of us got to that same position. We said, no, I don't like where I'm at. I'm going home. And we came back to Christ. We came back to Christ. We were once there. And it's only by the grace of God that we're not still there.
Amen.
It's only by the grace of God that we're not still where we were. All satanically deceived children, all of the satanically deceived children of Satan are still there with their sin nature. You no longer have a sin nature. It is not your nature to sin. If you've been born again, it is not your nature to sin. You despise it. And when you do sin, it grieves you that you sin. It hurts. And you want to get it to the cross and get it forgiven. Some are religiously but deceived. Folks, I'm telling you, the church, what we call the church, is so infected. I'm going to use that word, infected and infested with people who have not the foggiest idea what it means to be born again.
Amen.
Doesn't have the foggiest idea. 2 Peter chapter, and it's worse yet. You've got people in the field of religion who are leading people in the field of religion, and the people in the field of religion are not born again, and the one leading them are not born again. So where does that leave you? This is reality, folks. It was true in the day of Christ. He denounced the religious leadership in his day. He said, you're your father the devil. Wait a minute. You're in leading the religious community? You're leading them, and your father's the devil? Folks, this is tough. Then we go into 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Whereas angels, who are greater in power and might, do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord. Angels will not bring a railing accusation against these people. They claim to be Christians. They're not Christians. Demons. Infected. Demonic. It's hard to realize that you have people and people in pulpits who are demonic infected. You got people who don't even believe that unclean spirits exist.
That's right.
Word of God names some of them. Puts names on them. I'm slowing down as I move because I know that I'm going to have to cut through some misunderstanding at this point. You've got people sitting in church who really do not comprehend or understand the warfare we're in and what has invaded the church and why the church is so weak, so impotent, so impotent. So much of the church is spiritually impotent. If the church were what she's supposed to be, and the people of God knew who they were in Christ Jesus, if the people of God could get up in the morning and say, "Now, wait a minute. Yes, I'm a sinner saved by grace, but I am saved. Yes, I have a sinful past, but I'm saved. My past is behind me. God has forgotten it. God has forgotten things I can't forget. Because Satan can't remind him, but he can remind me. But God, if we could get up every morning in the world, God has forgotten things that I can't forget, but I am a new creation. I am purchased of God. I am adopted into the family of God. I am a believer priest. I have access to the throne of God. I have clout with God, and I'm a soldier of the cross, and soldiers endure hardship."
Amen.
And that's why the Word of God says, endure hardship as a good soldier. Endure hardship. Put up with it. It's going to happen, folks. It's going to happen. Satan is going to see to it every day of the world that you run into opposition.
Amen.
Mentally, spiritually, emotionally, physically, he's going to see to it that you run into opposition. And sometimes that opposition comes from unexpected sources. It surprises you, catches you by surprise. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 21. This is the Word of God. I didn't write it. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." 2 Peter 2:12. "But these, like natural brute beasts." He's talking about unsaved people, folks. He's talking about people you are living with, working with, surrounded with, having dinner with. "But these, like natural brute beasts, made to be caught and destroyed, speak of the evil things they do not understand, and will utterly perish in their own corruption." Good grief. You see why I didn't want to preach this? When I look at this, you see, these people he's talking about, we're mixing and mingling with them. We're dining with them. We're visiting with them. We work in the same office with them, many of us. But they, you see, these people, they will judge, they will criticize, and they will condemn anybody and anything and everything. That's who they are. It's what they are. We were once there. Here again, though, Lord help me. You are in a process of sanctification, of slowly but surely becoming increasingly more Christ-like. And you're doing things, I've told you 10,000 times, you're doing things today that 3 months from now you won't do. You're entertaining thoughts today that 6 months, a year from now, you won't entertain. You'll rebuke it. Taking every thought captive is what the Word of God says. It's warfare. He's trying to impregnate the mind. They speak evil, the Word of God says. They speak evil of the things they do not understand. In their spiritual ignorance, they will denounce Christianity. In their spiritual ignorance, they will denounce Christianity. They will denounce the church for who she is and what she is. And will utterly perish in their own corruption. We've finished the verse now. And will utterly perish in their own corruption. Satanically blinded, satanically deceived, they will perish eternally. We have systems of religion in the nations of the world with multiplied thousands of members. Hear me carefully. Folks, I have to deal with this. We have systems of religion in the nations of the world, if you will, that have embraced false systems of religion. You've got people deceived, being destroyed. They were never born again. We've got whole religious movements filled with thousands of people, multiplied thousands of people who have never been born again. That's reality.
Amen.
I'm praying, asking God to deliver those who are the elect. Now slow down a moment. You got to listen to me. The Word of God makes it clear. The elect. Used some 14, 15 times in the New Testament. The elect. Who are the elect? I'm going to move into that in just a second, but let me get ahead of myself. The elect are those that God knew before the foundation of the world would at some point in time in their life repent and receive Him as Lord and Savior. Now basically that's who the elect are. But inside, you see, we don't know who the elect are. And some of those ungodly people you can think of may be part of the elect. They just haven't yet received their election. But they will receive their election sometime. I'm asking God, I've told the Lord, I said, I would to God that the whole world was the elect.
Amen.
But the whole world is not the elect. But within the whole world, there are those who are the elect.
Amen.
Those of us who have been born again, we're one of the, what the Bible calls the elect. Known by God before the foundation of the world that we would reach a point in time in our life when we would receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and be born again. We are the elect. Each system of religion has some who are, I don't doubt this at all. Now this is going to crunch some of you. I believe that in every false system of religion in the world, there are some who are of the elect. Now think about what I just said. I believe that in every false system of religion in the world, there are some who are of the elect. And we have those who have come out of the false systems of religion and received their election, and they're now in the body of Christ, and many of them are trying to reach people who were in that religious organization they were in that they came out of, and now they are trying to reach people in that religious organization to get them to receive their election if they are the elect. You see, you don't know who the elect are.
No.
I don't know who the elect are. But God knows who the elect are. And God knows before the foundation of the world, before anything was put, when it was only God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they knew who the elect would be. By name, by race, they knew. Either you believe in the omniscience of God or you don't. It's that simple. Either you believe in the omniscience of God or you don't. I believe in the omniscience of God.
Amen.
I believe in the omnipotence of God. I believe He's all power, all knowledge, has never learned anything new, and there's nothing He can't do that He wants to do. There is nothing He can't do that He wants to do. But many times, He's waiting for you, me, to have the faith to approach Him with that situation.
Amen.
And that circumstance. You have not because you ask not. Word of God says, you have not because you ask not. You want it, but you don't have it because you don't ask for it. You don't have the faith to ask for it. The elect are in every system or religion in the world, but they will come out of that system. Now here's, this is a fuzzy area, and I'm just going to be honest with you as I know how to be. I've said this to the Lord, I'm saying it to you that I've said it to the Lord. I think of false systems of religion in the world. I think of the elect that is in that false system. So I pray that God will save them in that false system. But now here's where I hit a quandary. Do I ask God to bring them out of that false system of religion? Or do I ask God to let them stay in that false system of religion and be salt and light. Are you following this? Is it just possible that God in His omniscience and God in His wisdom might say, I understand they're in a false system of religion, but they are now born again. Now they can be salt, they can be light in that religious community and help others come out of that false system of religion into a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know. But I pray it. And that's as honestly as I know how to pray it, as honestly as I know how to tell you. You got to decide how you want to pray it. But I'm asking God to penetrate the darkness and the deception of religious movements and bring those who are of the elect, if it pleases Him, out of that system. But on the other hand, if it pleases Him to leave them in that system as salt and light in that system for a while, that's up to Him. I can't call that shot. But we find lost people in different expressions of religion in the world. We find them in leadership positions in the world. As far as that goes, we got some in the church like that. 2 Peter 2:14, he's describing these people. Having eyes full of adultery. Now stop and think about what I'm saying. In the pulpit, then the deacon family. There may be elders. There may be teaching Sunday school. They're involved in the life of the church. But they have eyes full of adultery. And they cannot cease from sin. Enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices and are accursed children. They are cursed by God, and we're mixing and mingling. In this congregation, I don't concern myself with that. Folks, I had 153 people join in one day. I had 153 people join our church in one day. Two are left, Quinn and Kathy. Out of 153, that joined, two have survived. Having eyes full of adultery, in other words, they eat up with lust. You got people sitting in church and in sometimes in position of leadership in the church that are eat up with lust. Having eyes full of adultery, they cannot cease from sin. We're talking about people who are bound in sin. Bound. And they're in churches. Many of them belong to a church. They cannot cease from sin. Now, you have to understand this. Some may be in your family. You may have some people like this in your family. You may have co-workers working with you that we're describing right here. And our neighbors, we may have neighbors that they're describing here. Totally, totally, totally outside of God's love, mercy, and grace. You need to be praying, Lord, let me be salt. Let me be light. You understand? And I'm closing with this. You may be the only individual in God's blue heaven that can touch them. God may have given you favor with an individual who is lost. Religious, but lost. Understand this. We live in a world full of people who are religious, but lost. Christ was living in a world full of religious people, but lost people, including the leadership of the Christian community, if you will. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, even the leadership there were lost. And Christ condemned them. Now, here's where I close it. Tomorrow morning, and every morning of the world when you get up, understand that you are going out into a sin-darkened, sin-infested world full of people, many who think they're born again are not born again. And many who are candidates to be born again, but have not yet received Christ. And you may be the only salt, the only light that will ever penetrate their life. Father God, it's tough. It's not pretty. It's reality because your word teaches it. Help us to comprehend reality. Help us to comprehend the reality of who we are, what we are in Christ Jesus. And help us, I pray, Father, every day of the world to go out into this sin-fest, sin-cursed, sin-infected world and be the light and be the salt, the preservative. Salt is a preservative. Light illumines darkness. But help us every day of the world to take light into darkness, be a preservative in the society in which we live, and in some way advance the kingdom of God to your glory, your honor, and your praise. This I ask in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said,
amen.
Amen and amen.
Hearts, I want to thank you for joining us today here on Challenge. And in closing the message out today, let me share a couple of things with you. When I was just a teenager, my mother felt that I was called to the ministry, as I did. And one Sunday, they had the youth conducting the services, and I was the one to deliver the message that Sunday morning. Well, my mother had a group of women praying for several days that if I was truly called to preach, that God would have three souls saved that morning. Well, I delivered the message from 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Well, I preached that morning, and three souls got saved. A man by the name of Wilbur Ware was one of those that got saved that morning. I was told later he was a hard case. But God heard my mother's prayer and the prayer of those women. Here's the unfortunate part. I didn't understand the sins of the fathers. I didn't understand ancestral sins in the bloodline. At that point in time in my life, I thought that I would perhaps be the next Billy Graham. I didn't know. But the point is this. I left home. I went in the military. And I spun out. I never was taught about the sins of the fathers. I never understood the doctrine of the sins of the fathers. I didn't know what I was up against, and I spun out. But you know, God in His love, God in His mercy, God in His grace, God in His goodness, when I finally came to myself, after some years of running from God, going out to the world, experiencing the world, tasting the world, and found out the world had nothing that could really truly satisfy, I came home. As a matter of fact, the day I came home, the associate pastor was teaching, and he preached a message entitled, Loving the Unlovable. And I sat there with my wife saying to myself, that's me. That's me. But that was a turning point in my life. I came back to the Lord that Sunday, and I remained there ever since. I want some of you who have strayed, I want you to understand, God loves you. God still loves you, and God will forgive you. And God will restore you. And I'm asking you today, come back. If you're one of those who strayed like I did, come back. Come back and say to the Lord, I'm sorry that I strayed, and I want to be restored in the body and in the family of God. And then there are those who perhaps have never come to Christ. You're religious. You're involved in religious activity, but you've never come to Christ. I'm going to ask you in the closing moments of this broadcast to come to Christ saying, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. And I want to give my heart to you. I want to be born again. I want to be forgiven of my sins. And you might pray this while you're at it. Father God, I rebuke in the name of Jesus all the sins of all my ancestral bloodline. I stand against every foul spirit that ever gained access to my bloodline. I resist it. I stand against it. And Father God, I submit and surrender fully, completely, totally, thoroughly to your Lordship in my life. Would you like to pray something like that? Why don't we close the broadcast, me helping you pray something like that, shall we? Would you pray along with me? Heavenly Father, I come to your throne, and I'm asking you, Father God, to hear my prayer. I'm a sinner, Father God. I have sinned. I have walked away from you. There are some who have never come to Christ, and some of you need to pray, Heavenly Father, I'm a sinner. Be merciful to me, a sinner. Be merciful to me, a sinner. I come into your presence saying I am a sinner, and I'm asking you to forgive me for my sin. Come into my heart, be my Lord, and be my Savior. And I have no doubt there may be some listening to the broadcast today who can say to the Lord, Lord, I want to come home. I want to come home. I've strayed. I've been the prodigal. I want to come home. Well, I'm living proof that when you come home, he'll be waiting for you with open arms. He'll receive you. Please take seriously what you've heard today. And if you have not yet committed yourself to Christ, do so even now. Would you? Thank you so much for joining us today here on Challenge. And until we get a chance to do this again, be blessed. Be blessed.